Welcome to the Friends of Bacatti podcast. You've got Brad Mell and Chris Walker, and we've got another interview episode for you today. Now, if you're a regular reader of the blogs, or perhaps listen to some of these podcasts, then you'll know this person because he will be mentioned quite a few times, and it's David Scott, but it's the first time we've actually had him on the podcast and hear about him from himself. So, yeah, good morning, David. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, good morning, Brad. Good morning, Chris. How is everybody today?
Yeah, good morning, David. How are you doing?
I'm good, good. Just came over to Hull this morning from Germany on the overnight ferry into Hull, got in very early, so all good, yeah.
Lovely.
Lovely. So yeah, as you mentioned there, you do live in Germany, and we'll come to that in a second, but you are from Scunthorpe, and I think with a lot of these podcasts, you know, we do interview a lot of people that have a connection to Scunthorpe United, so should we maybe start there? Where did it start with you for Scunthorpe United?
With me, well, I was born in Scunthorpe in the 60s, lived in Scunthorpe, of course, lived in off Westcombe Lane. And my first game was 1970. I went to watch Scunthorpe just after my 8th birthday. Kevin Keegan was playing. Kevin Keegan scored. And that was his last season. The season after, we got promoted, which was quite exciting. I was only 9, of course, but whatever, it's still exciting. So I got the bug, and then been watching Scunny ever since. Obviously we got promoted again, early 80s. That was probably my favourite season because I had a car and I could go everywhere. I was a student, so I didn't have to be at work at 3. I could leave at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but work at 3 o'clock in the morning, as students do. So that caught me with the bug for Scunthorpe United.
And you still keep up to date with them now, don't you? I know. Obviously, you know, you come back and forth, don't you? And you still get to games where you can, but you still keep track on all the results and everything.
Yeah. I mean, I've got the zone account, so then there's not the 3 o'clock.
Blackout.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I can watch the games with the correct VPN live. I watch just about every game live, and I probably come to a dozen games a season. So I've just about always maintained a small place here in Hull, or I had a place in Beverley a few years back. So Hull's where I studied, so I kept my base here, and I can come over and watch Scunthorpe United slowly, hopefully get back into the league again.
Hopefully so. Two home games to go anyway. Let's talk about Germany then. What took you out there originally?
Well, I was working in Barton for Burst Construction. The Burst Construction actually built the Glanford Park. It was the year before I joined, slightly after, and I did do some stadium designs and stuff. The Stanley West stand at Lincoln, I did. Rochdale was the main stand, although somebody else built it. And so I was working there. But whilst I studied, I'd met my future wife. We weren't actually together at the time. She studied part of the time in Holland, part of the time in Germany. And then early 90s was a big recession. There was a big boom in Germany with the fall of the wall and the unification of East and West Germany. So I took the risk and moved over to be with my future wife. And there was a lot of work for several years, particularly in East Germany. And so I started doing that. And that went on for a few years, worked for different firms. And then eventually, in 1999, I became self-employed. And now I basically do construction management, client representation, which is not the most exciting work, but it pays well. So that's why I moved to Germany initially, yeah, because of my wife and because of work.
Now, we'll be jumping forward slightly here, but, and maybe Chris, maybe you could answer this one. How did you two first sort of meet and connect? Because obviously David supported the charity in a number of ways, which we'll talk in a minute. But yeah, how did that connection initially come about?
From what I remember, it was he'd started to like follow some of the stuff that I've been doing, and then decided to generously start donating to it. And if those of you who are familiar with the previous blogs, particularly going back to my early days, we did like several different campaigns to raise funds and things. So I did a walk between Bradford and Scunthorpe. I believe David heard about that. And then a bit later on, I think it was after the COVID outbreak in 2022, I think it was, he'd come up with an idea called Get Tied Up for Bacatti, where basically a load of Scunthorpe away fans wore a tie for a day and put a pound into the charity. And that was his idea. Originally, it was for 2020, but COVID delayed it all. So we ended up doing it at Bradford City, when I was living in Bradford at the time. And he matched a certain amount that we raised. And I've always been grateful for his generosity. It's been amazing.
Yeah, I remember Chris walking from Bradford to Scunthorpe. Well, I think you didn't do the last few kilometres because you had problems, but and your son helped you out, didn't he?
I did the vast majority of it. I couldn't do, but I did actually manage the last 2 kilometres deliberately so I could actually walk to the ground and got the reception that I had, which was lovely.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and the other piece of it is my brother, he married she's a Scunthorpe girl, but she was born in, at the time, Rhodesia, to a Scunthorpe mum and a Rhodesian black doctor she was born there, and obviously she had a sister and 2 brothers. Unfortunately, her father died in Rhodesia and they came back eventually to Scunthorpe. But so I have a bit of a link with Rhodesia, a roundabout link through the family, and that sort of piqued my interest as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we first met actually at the ground somewhere, I believe, at Glanford Park, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah. We talked a couple of times at the ground, and I just think I'm always full of appreciation for people like Chris who give up their own time and do things for other people without any personal gain and take the time out, you know, and organize these things. I think it's great that people are doing that, and I think they should be supported. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And Chris, you mentioned that idea that David had there, the get tied up for Pacati. And I think that was one of the sort of first real events that I remember as well. It was slightly before I got involved. And as you say, I remember the walk that you did.
Right.
But that was, I do remember that one. I remember that raised quite a lot of money. And yeah, David, maybe just talk us through, I guess, how you suggested that idea. I think, was it come from a photo? Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. Chris was in Zimbabwe, wasn't he? And you know, Chris, he's normally he's got his sweatshirt and his jeans on and whatever. In that photo, he had a nice white shirt and a smart tie. And I just thought, why don't we do something like that? At a Scunthorpe game that we'll say, put a tie on, and donate £1. And I thought, and I can match it then. And then, I think it was £400 or something like that. But it helped generally to get the awareness up and bring some money into the Chris's charitable cause.
I think we raised something like £1,100 in total over the weekend of that. Yeah, I had a couple of people donate that couldn't get there.
Magnificent.
That was really good.
Yeah, and that match funding is something that you've done, frequently for the charity as well, which is fantastic. And I think even going back to the most recent event, Chris, wasn't it? The one that we just did at the Open Day, the Community Day.
Yes, that's right, yeah. I mean, extraordinarily generous of it. Yeah, he said he would match up to £500 of whatever we raised, and we think we raised £364 in something like that. £346 it was. Yeah, we came out to £692 altogether with David's contribution, which was wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. So, David, you mentioned your family connection there, which was partly the reason for your interest in the charity, but also with you sending us a couple of notes ahead of this, there's a really interesting connection with something that your wife does, which I think has a similar theme, I guess, to the charity that Chris does. Maybe tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, my wife was quite high up in the finance world and was a leading American credit card company, we could say, vice president. And as things happen, as she gets towards 60, she negotiated a package. And I think she went to the Barbie film and saw, with a dollar, though, they're both dressed in pink, about a charity, I think in the States, called Inspiring Girls. So she took that idea, embraced it, and started it off in Germany. She does it for free, but obviously she contacted a lot of ladies who, not just like in finance, but also ladies who have trades like carpenters, etc., or welders, or they have different aspects of what they do. And what they do is they go into schools throughout Germany once or twice a month, all over Germany. My wife does more where we around where we live, but and they go into girls for girls who are about 13, 14 who are looking to know what to do in their future lives, and instead of just taking straightforward roles, it's trying to inspire them to, you know, go into what were traditionally male roles. And she's been doing that for a couple of years now, has managed to collect some donations. They've had to hire a permanent secretary or administrator to run it now, which is great. And they're trying to expand that slightly as well. So girls get into science or maths, or they get into, you know, roofing or whatever, something completely different to what they normally do. And so she does that as well. It's all part of, trying to expand their horizons, I suppose.
Chris, what do you make of that? Because it's obviously it's a fantastic cause, isn't it? But I guess similar things in terms of, you know, targeting the education and things like that and, you know, the future prospects. Yeah, what do you make of all of that?
Yeah, I think it's a really good thing. Because as you say, it's getting people into roles they wouldn't traditionally do. And I've never seen anything wrong with that. I've always encouraged students at Pagati and other schools I've taught at, regardless of whether they're male or female or black or white or anything, to do whatever they can and whatever they want to.
Absolutely. Right, and I think that's probably it for this episode. David, thank you very much for joining us and telling us these stories. I think that charity work sounds fantastic. And as Chris has said, you know, all the funding and the ideas, it is really appreciated. So, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, David.
Yeah, pleased to talk. Yeah, thanks.